Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Trevor Sikkema. Here with me is Benjamin Solak. Ben, we are opening up a can of underclassmen wide receivers.
Not ready.
I need you to be ready because this is the moment. This is the moment that everybody who's been listening to the past couple of episodes has been waiting for. Can't tell you how many handwritten notes that have been priority shipped to my house saying, when are you going to get to the junior wide receivers?
All of the smoke signals we've received.
It's like my table is like a recruiting table from a five-star high school recruit. You guys are just clamoring for it.
Oh, we got to take the bath with all the letters.
Oh, is that a thing? Do they do that?
No, they there was a famous photo I remember from a couple years ago of a guy who's just in a bathtub, which is like all of his letters just like in there with him. And I was like, you know what? Honestly, go off, King. You're 16, but go for it.
That is truly, truly amazing. Today, we are talking about four really, really good wide receivers. And Ben, what did you ask me before the podcast, right before we clicked record?
I demand that you do not ask me to rank these players on Friday. Because I don't know. How? Are you kidding?
Buddy, you're going to rank them. And you're going to like it.
You know what? You're going to like it.
And you're going to like it.
It's going to be rough. I mean, this is... I have no complaints with, like, all of these players.
So, let's start out with the guy that everybody's talking about. He is a wide receiver who right now, in those way too early mock drafts... I mean, I've seen his name as high as number two overall, which is kind of crazy for a wide receiver, especially a wide receiver. I mean, like, let's be real about it. Of his build, he's, you know, if it was Calvin Johnson, it'd be a little bit different. If it was Julio Jones, it'd be a little different. You know, these hulking wide receivers who were just these beasts on the outside, you could see, okay, that makes sense, you know, them being top five, top three picks. But instead, we're talking about Jerry Jeudy, and he is so different because... he's not of that size, right? I mean, like, he's not built like Calvin Johnson. In fact, he's about 6'1", buck 90. I mean, he's a skinny dude. He's that good. This kid
is... I'm not even sold he's 6'1".
This kid... I mean, I'm with you. This kid is a smaller wide receiver. He's a lanky wide receiver. I'd call him a skinny wide receiver. He's also one of the most dominant wide receivers in all of college football, and there's not a damn thing that I've been able to see a single defense do about it over the last 2 years. Going into his time at Alabama, I remember watching him as a recruit. And I'm not super big into recruiting. I probably should get a little bit into it now that, you know, we have such a deep knowledge of the draft. I'd like to have a super head start on some of these guys that are going to be prominent players. But I care a little bit because of Florida, right? I try to keep an eye on some of the targets that Florida has, some of the bigger guys in the class. I'll look those guys up just for fun. And so I do have a little bit of a knowledge of recruiting. When Jerry Jeudy was in his junior year and senior year of high school, I'd never seen a high school football player just smoke kids the way that he does. And I thought to myself, okay, and I'm actually going to be writing about this pretty soon, about how Jerry Jeudy was and his presence on social media, even going into his time at Alabama. The things that he did, the moves that he put on, those one-on-one videos, those highlight things that get shared and everywhere... the dude was just absolutely ridiculous. And I'm like, look, normally I don't pay too much attention to this high school stuff because we are talking about one-on-ones. You know, there's no contact involved. These high school, even on like high school tape, it's guys that aren't even going to be playing in college. But I knew that Jeudy was going to be different. I'm not here sitting saying that I was first on him because that's not what I'm saying it as. What I'm saying is that if you knew anything about Jerry Jeudy, basically from age 15 on, you knew that this kid had the potential to be a star. And here he is now going into his first year as a draft-eligible player. And he's already a star. The way that you could project his success and the success that he's having at college right now to the NFL is just so easy. What do you think of Jerry Jeudy watching him, putting him under the microscope for the first time?
I've heard, it's been said, rumored.
The lore.
This is the bet. It's been that he's the best wide receiver prospect since Odell Beckham Jr. And I'm not ready to go there. Not even remotely. Like, that's a take for a winter month. This is a summer month. We do not fire off takes like that. Unless we feel like it, in which case we do. But I'm not ready to go there. But Well, the thing, like, when you watch the top receivers in the NFL, like when you watch Hopkins and it's catch radius and vertical ability and timing, and you watch Antonio Brown and it's route running and it's body control with multiple breaks. When you watch Odell Beckham Jr., it's looseness and flexibility, and it's just natural addressing of the football. Like when Beckham makes these one-handed plucks, it's not like a regular one-handed catch. It just feels like he's got the ball on a string. He's just bringing it back in like a yo-yo.
Right.
Like Beckham is so, the word is natural. And when you say Jerry Judy's the best receiver prospect since Beckham, okay, whatever. But when you watch Judy, absolutely, you see Beckhamish things. There's no way around that. We have to start there and just say, listen, the fluidity and the natural. When you watch Clemson and this kid, he's making catches below his knees, making catches above his eyes, making catches above his shoulder, and there's no way his body can't turn. There's no angle he can't get to. There's just so much freedom in his game. He was made to play the wide receiver position at a very high level. And, like, that's the thing is, like, he's just an utter joy to watch. And then he does things like, you know, you watch the Ole Miss game, and he takes Zedrick Woods step for step. Zedrick Woods is later going to run a 4.31 at the NFL Combine, right?
Yeah.
It's not even, like, natural feels like you're underselling his explosiveness, right? Yeah. And his strength as well. Like, he's a good tackle breaker. He's incredibly sudden. There are going to be Odell Beckham Jr. comparisons that are made to this player for the remainder of his draft cycle, which I imagine will end this season. And I don't – like, it's very hard to compare a guy to Odell, but there's absolutely flashes. And that's the mold in which he's successful. Let's not forget, Odell's a shade under 6 foot, and it's like a buck 95. And that's, I think, where Judy's going to come in the 600 range, and he's going to be right around under 200. That would be my guess.
Well, I think that –
we haven't watched this. And so – it makes sense.
We're about to throw out some really big names here, but this is the kind of dominance that we're talking about of the traits that this guy has. I mean, when I introed it, I said, look, if we were talking about a 6'5" guy, like a Calvin Johnson or Julio Jones or like a Mike Evans or something like that, a lot of people would understand the hype around that. But also, I mean, realize this, Antonio Brown was the best receiver in football for like 6 straight years, right? I mean, like the dude's 5'10", 180. Right? I mean, like, you can... Right. And that's where... I don't have an Odell Beckham Jr. comp for Jerry Judy. What I have is an Antonio Brown comp. Because I think that Judy is going to play... Judy is going to play... And the reason why I say that is because I don't think that he's a carbon copy of Brown. But I'll say that they win in similar ways. I think that Judy's going to play in the slot in the NFL. Like, that's just what he's going to do. Odell moves all over. He plays outside. He plays inside. He plays all that kind of stuff. They just try to get him as much space as possible. I really do think Judy is going to be mainly a slot guy, do a lot of his work there, more so in the ratio that they divvied up Antonio Brown when he was with the Steelers, where he's going, like, inside and out. I think it's going to be a little bit more of that path. And also, I think it's the footwork, right? I mean, the footwork is what's so incredible about Judy, and we talk about separation all the time with wide receivers. If you can separate well, you're going to be able to play in the NFL. That's just, I mean, bottom line, teams are always looking for good separators no matter what, whether it's first round, second round, right, sixth round, seventh round. If you can separate, you're going to get a chance, at least in a training camp, to prove yourself, things like that. I mean, Adam Humphries built his whole career off of being basically an afterthought. And then every single training camp he was in, he just continued to be a better separator. All of a sudden, now he gets a little slot role. He makes a roster. And now this past year, he signs a big deal with the Titans, you know, to move on from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you can separate, teams are going to give you a chance. And that's because at the highest level of it, you have guys like Antonio Brown, right? I mean, you have guys who truly are uncoverable in a lot of different ways. And that's what I see when I see Judy.
And that's the cool thing about – right. And that's the thing is, like, Judy is probably, like – like, obviously elite, and, like, you have to do hard work on his film to make sure you understand exactly what it is and how to value that. But he's probably one of the easiest tape watches in the entire world. You could take people who have not watched football before and be like, hey, watch number four and tell me if you think he's good or not. This is not hard to figure out. Are you kidding me? Like you watch the way this guy plays. And that's the thing about, like, you know, we like, oh, separation is this, and separation doesn't always mean that. That's the other thing. Judy smoked. Judy actually separates. You can't touch him. It's unbelievable what he's doing to future NFL players. Trayvon Mullen just embarrassed him.
Yeah.
He went in the second round. It's an unbelievable play, man. It's wonderful to watch.
He's really good, and I think that the part that you talked about there is it's not just his footwork, which is unbelievably elite. I think that body control is his biggest calling card, and where he just really separates himself with how he can control his speed and stop on a dime and just the jukes that he can pull on these people because of how good his footwork is and his agility. I mean, it's off the charts. That's, for me, his biggest calling card. But what you were saying earlier, too, this guy can go up and get the ball. He can catch through traffic. He's got good balance, too. So yards after the catch, making guys miss, determination. It's so funny that when you look at this guy on the screen, you think this is a scrawny little 6-foot receiver. What are you talking about? And then you just realize how much he cooks defensive backs no matter who they are. And you go, all right, I see it. That's going to win. That's going to translate into the NFL. Let's talk about T. Higgins next. He's a much bigger bodied guy. Okay. 6'4", 200, main receiver out of Clemson. I want to get your thoughts on T. Higgins. Actually, let me go first because I want to kind of react to something that you might have seen. What did you see when you were watching T. Higgins?
T. Higgins is probably the worst wide receiver we watched today.
Okay, I would agree.
And also, T. Higgins is like very good and absolutely has a path into being a first round player. So like, where are we? All right, so T. Higgins. Firstly, I think the thing you notice is, like, so I went to go look at his recruiting and understand, first, like, where it came from, obviously, and, like, you know, what he tested as. We had a 4.75 coming out, which is, like, middling for wide receivers. But I think the dude, with his stride length, I think he's got jets. I think he's very clearly a strong deep threat who really does an excellent job separating, uncovering down the field. You see a great job manipulating the route stem as well. You know, when we talk about route running, if he is where you want him to be, leave him there, and if he's not where you want him to be, take him somewhere else, right? And like, Higgins understands this concept in the route stems. If you've got outside leverage on him and he wants to get outside of you, he has that ability to tug you inside, to give you little head fakes, to work his stem, to bring you his direction so he can break back opposite you. And so he's developed in that way, and that's what we've come to expect from Clemson receivers. He's got vines for arms, he's got plus wingspan, and he uses it well, able to make catches outside of his frame, and he's able to go up and attack the football as well explosively. He's a thinner framed guy. Because, like you said, he's 6'4", and I think he's like 2-0-something, and so he's a little bit spindly in that way, but he's not afraid of getting hit, and he's strong after the catch. The questions are going to be for Higgins, three-level threat or primarily a deep threat, and just how fast is he? Is it just play speed that he's kind of gone? He's not going to be testing super well. And so that's kind of where I fell on Higgins. But I think while I have amazing respect for Jerry Jeudy, I'm madly in love with CeeDee Lamb. Laviska Shenault's not bad at anything. Higgins, as a vertical threat, as a guy simply running the nine, is at the class with all these guys. He's at their level with all these guys. It's the other aspects of wide receiver play where he may not necessarily be like a Jerry Jeudy snapping off route breaks, like a Laviska Shenault breaking tackles, or like a CeeDee Lamb in the air adjusting to the football, right? But as a deep threat, I think Higgins has that strength that goes really well for him. And if you can generate explosive plays, Will Fuller went in the first round, baby.
Sure.
Like, you know, you can.
Yeah, Will Fuller is a lot faster, though. No, I know what you're saying, though. And I guess that's a good way for me to kind of talk about what I think about him. I agree with a lot of the points that you made, but I will just say this. When I was noticing him over the, I think I watched 3 games of him, and then I just watched, I think, a highlight tape of his because I wanted to see his best. He is clearly more comfortable running a 9 or a post route. Like, if he's running a 9 or a post, you can just tell that. And I think, to your point, you were talking a little bit about him not necessarily being a big change of direction guy. He's more of a smooth guy, right? He's got longer strides, got longer lengths,
yeah,
so he can get down the field, right? So he can be a smooth fast guy. He's not going to be an explosive fast guy. So anytime I could tell you within his first 2 steps, I think about the 3rd game I was watching, I could tell you within the first 2 or 3 steps of his route whether or not he was running deep, because he gave it away. Because he does not run out of his stance the same way doing basically any other route, whether it's a comeback, whether it's a something over the middle, whether it's an in or an out route, that he does with a post or a 9. He's different. And so he's clearly the most comfortable when you send him down the field. And I'm okay with that because, like you said, he's got some hops to him. He's got some length. He can go up and get the ball, and I'm cool with him there. But in terms of like an all-around receiver game, I don't know if he has that necessarily right now. Not that he's lacking talent anywhere. It's more just like fluidity of natural athletic ability that he just doesn't showcase because he's so focused on hitting a lot of those deep plays. And you brought up Will Fuller there, and certainly there's a place in the NFL for even guys who just prefer to be deep ball guys. But I don't know if Higgins is like fast enough to be that in the NFL. I mean, I'm kind of questioning. I think the guys are kind of keeping up with him a decent amount here in college. So he's got to be more to me. I think he's just got to show. What I want to see from him hopefully this year is just being more comfortable and more confidently explosive, if that's even a term, coming out of his break no matter what route he's running. I'd just like to see a little bit more of expanded there and a little bit bigger comfort when he's running different routes instead of just those deep balls.
Right, and this might be a situation that like looks like similar to what we discussed before. Clemson, with their recruiting and their offense, might have the luxury of just saying, listen, like, T, you're going to run a seven, and you're going to run a shallow cross, and we don't need you to do anything else, and that's what you're good at. And yeah, he's definitely a more linear player than like a Judy is. Definitely LaVisca Chenault, and maybe even a CeeDee Lamb, who's kind of considered a linear guy. He's definitely a linear player. Now, obviously, like I brought up the Will Fuller. He's not as fast as Will Fuller, but I personally think he has the plus speed, stride length, and vertical ability to be that sort of a role player at the next level. Like, I see him being able to do that. Obviously, we've got this season coming up, but if there's something we want to see from Higgins, it's more multi-break routes. It's more stuff over the middle. It's maybe more of those contested catches. And he got those occasionally, for sure. It's just like when you have Hunter Renfro, Justin Ross, like, you know, you've got talent to spare. So just let Higgins do what he's good at, you know what I mean? And that's the tricky thing about these teams that are loaded. We talked about it with Bryan Edwards, right? Everything's in a vertical third, because why the heck would you put Bryan Edwards anywhere else when Debo Samuel can run all your interior stuff, you know what I mean? So
you're just trying to win games.
It's the nature of projecting, yeah.
LaVisca Chenault. I'm gonna admit this, Ben. I had never even heard his name before you brought him up last year. Had no idea who he was. Didn't know he existed. And then you kind of were talking him up, obviously being the Pac-12 guy, seeing him before everybody else was, kind of getting on the LaVisca train before everybody else. And boy, it's a fun train. He does.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
When the Colorado Buffaloes go 5-0 to start the season, and LaVisca Chenault's got over 50% of the offense's yardage production. Crazy. I did not say receiving yards. I said over 50% of the offensive production as a whole. It is tough to miss the young man.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He does
how badly this team needed him.
He does everything. He is their outside receiver. He is their slot receiver. He can play halfback. He can play, you know, like movement behind the line of scrimmage. He does all kinds of H-back work. He's even their goal line wildcat quarterback when they get down there.
Yeah.
Getting rushing touchdowns.
I have a tweet that it basically says like Colorado offensive strategy or Colorado offensive theory. And it's like down one, like meh run play, like down two, meh run play, third down, LaVisca save us. And like, this was the formula for a month and they went undefeated.
Yeah.
It was just, they had nothing besides him. And when they went 5-0, USC game, he goes down with injury, they lose. They lose like the remaining games that he's not there. He hustles back from injury, isn't the same. They lose the next three games and the head coach is fired. Like, LaVisca was the only reason this team won any games for the first five games of the season. And it was because they line him up as H-back, line him up out of the backfield. And it's crazy. Like, you watch his cut-ups, it's like, you know, all right, like power running play with lead blockers for number two. And the very next play, he's split out wide running a nine route. Like, who is this guy? It's unbelievable versatility, man.
Yeah. And the thing is, we talked about being a natural with Tyler Johnson. LaVisca is truly a natural. Like, sometimes there were plays in his tape where, you know, he was running a route where he might have been double covered or something like that, or the ball is just going really deep, where he basically just puts his hands out and it's just like a sixth sense, and he'll grab it, like he'll reel it in, and it's like, come on, man, that's not teachable. Like, that is just such great natural ability, and guys just don't have that. You don't see football players like LaVisca Chenault. You just really you don't. Guys who can play every position like that are truly rare players, especially for at the success level that he does. And I think that he's got speed, but also even beyond that, man, he's got toughness. I can't tell you how many times I saw him fight for extra yards. He fights for extra yards. And I was listening to some of the broadcasts as I'm watching some of his tape, and they're talking about, you know, his yards per touch average and everything like that. And I've got to believe that that number was as high as it was for not only his freshman year, but also this past season. Because when he takes contact, he's getting another 3 yards, easy. Sometimes like a 4 or 5. Like, the guy just, there is no stopping him in his tracks. I can't remember a single time where I watched him really get stopped in his tracks. Everything was moving forward. Everything was extra yards.
He never gives up a yard. He's never like, oh, look, it's out of bounds.
No.
Nope. Nope. That's just not his way. That's not how he was brought up. Like, he's nasty when it comes to contact. And that's the thing is, like, I've talked about this before. I'm concerned that Colorado will continue to use him the way we've used them, which highlights his versatility, but makes it difficult for us to put him up against a guy like a Jerry Jeudy, who's out there running every route imaginable.
Sure. So, man, so right? I was gonna ask, what do you think? What would you say? Where would you put LaVisca right now in the NFL? Because he's about 6'2", 215, 220 maybe. Where would you put him? What would you do with him?
Yeah, and so the thing is, like, to me, like, this is a guy that you're going to put, I would say, as a big slot type, because I would want the ability to have him offline so that I can motion him into the backfield, so that I could give him the ball on jet sweeps, because I want to get him design touches. I want to get him the ball on screens, because he's shown to be effective in this way, but then also run routes out of him, and I think he'll benefit from being out of the slot, because he'll be able to break inside and outside. He doesn't run a ton of multi-break stuff, because he's too busy doing other things, you know what I mean? Like they have him running, like, you know, slants, comebacks, nines. Like, those are his, like, basic routes. Now, are you aware of who the Colorado coaching staff comps him to?
I feel like I heard this on the broadcast.
Yeah, it's made the circles. It's gone around.
Okay, hold on. Let me guess here. So, It's not a player that played. Is it a player that played in the Pac-12? Was it a Pac-12 person?
No, did not play in the Pac-12.
Okay. Is it an NFC player or an AFC player?
NFC, your division.
Oh boy. Okay, so is it a receiver?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Man, this is who. Is it somebody for the Panthers?
Nope. This player is 6'3", 220.
Why can I not think of this?
Trevor, who's the best receiver in your division?
I mean, Julio.
Yeah.
They compare him to Julio?
Colorado head coach Mike McIntyre said that
Dude, I'm not even... When you are talking to me about comparing wide receivers, Julio Jones' name is not even within my brain capabilities.
Right.
Don't compare people to Julio Jones.
Like, how dare you be like, oh yeah, we have like a Julio Jones, and then give him wildcat touches. Like, what are you smoking?
I'm over here. You told me he was in this division. You told me he was in this division. I was like, Christian McCaffrey? And that's when I asked you the wide receiver question. You said he's a wide receiver, and then I was like, wait, I mean, what are we gonna say, like DJ Moore or something? What? And so, man, that is whoo.
With how he's used, right? So they're like, oh, like we have a Julio Jones. Yeah, well, he's not making incredible sky and contested catches. The next guy we're going to talk about is closer to Julio. He's not Julio. Nobody's Julio, but he's closer in terms of how they're actually deploying, what their skill set is. So Chenault is going to be a guy who, like, is he worth a first-round pick? I'm not ready to answer that. Is he clearly a great athlete?
Asking himself a question he's not going to answer.
Yes, well, I'm showing the logical progression.
No, I know. It was just funny. It was just like, I'm asking myself this question. I'm not going to answer it.
I passed. But is he clearly like an incredible athlete? He's got a very versatile skill set. You want the ball in his hands, and he's going to be like helpful for an offense. There's no doubt. Like, I am 100% positive he's helpful for an offense. Again, ask me the stat about Colorado's entire offense when he was off or on the field. But is he a guy who I want to be my wide receiver one, or is he a guy who I want to pair with a much more traditional downfield wide receiver? Because that dictates his value so much. Like is this a guy who's going to be a 10-plus target a game downfield guy at the NFL level. I mean, he has the size and the frame to be, but it's not how he's used at Colorado. So if we have to project that, like if we really like just don't feel super comfortable with that because of the amount of tape, the routes that are run, so on and so forth, we're not going to be able to rank him above guys like a Judy and a CeeDee Lamb. We're not going to be able to do it because he just doesn't have as much certainty, and we know Lamb and Judy are potentially elite in this category. And so that's where, like, we could really run into a roadblock with Chenault. It's quite a ways down the road. The thing with, like, with Viska right now is simply it's a little bit about, like, when Mahomes came out, in the sense of, like, if he goes to 27, 28 of the NFL coaches, I'm worried. But if there's a select four or five, or if he ends up there,
right?
I mean, should be the next, like, you know, like, generation of, like, player in terms of, like, what he brings to you.
I'm with you with the position. I mean, just let him be a slot. Let him be off the line. Let him move around. Have some fun with him. This guy's going to be a really good NFL player as long as you allow your mind to be creative and you try to get the most out of everything that you can for him. Because not only could he be a focal point, but the thing about Laviska Shenault is he doesn't have to be the main guy to be effective. He could also be a really great complement, right? I mean, like, let's say that you have a really dominant X receiver on your team. Even on plays where the ball's not designed to go to Laviska, you can use him as a decoy if you use him correctly, because he can do so many cool things. And you can open up the field, I think, a lot with him. Or you can make him a primary guy from the slot. You can get him the ball. You can do things like that. So I think he could be a really good NFL player, but like you said, he's just got to be creative. We got to get to CeeDee Lamb before we get out of here.
You ready?
I put this on Twitter.
Are you ready? Trevor, tell me you're ready.
Okay, what am I?
Say it. Say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
When the 2019 NFL draft concluded, I immediately tweeted, "Welcome to the 2020 NFL draft. CeeDee Lamb is wide receiver one." People were very upset with me. I'm here to say that my take has not changed.
So he's still wide receiver one for you?
Mostly because it's like the summer and like it doesn't matter. And the moral of the story is this: the way Jerry Jeudy gets talked about and heroes, like heroicized or whatever, like, you know, everybody loves him. CeeDee Lamb, there's no reason for us not to be going gaga over this player. I have a college player to be this advanced at his size, footwork-wise and catch-point-wise, is dumb, stupid, ridiculous, illegal, should be outlawed, is absurd, is inexplicable. I can't understand it. Are you kidding me with this guy? The catches he makes, you saw the UCLA, is it UCLA catch?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Dude, what in the name of God? How?
This is the best sound clip you've ever given me.
Jerry Jeudy's an easy evaluation. Like, my grandmother could tell you that CeeDee Lamb is a good wide receiver. Unbelievable.
CeeDee Lamb is great. You know?
In the air, and it's like, okay, great in the air, great adjusting to the football. CeeDee Lamb regularly, routinely, predictably, set your clock to it, finds the football before his corner, beats him to the point of leverage, establishes a physical dominance before they even elevates, makes incredible catches beyond his frame. And then what's so underappreciated, because he played with Hollywood Brown, is this is a great yak player. This guy is 6'4".
Oh, for sure.
His shoulder, he rips through people. He's got speed. I do not when people say Lamb is like Hopkins, I want to tell them, do you know that, you know, DeAndre Hopkins is only 6'1"? See, Lamb's got extra 3 inches. Or whatever the heck, however tall CeeDee Lamb is.
No, he's not that tall. No, he's like 6'1", 6'2", dude.
CeeDee Lamb? I think CeeDee Lamb's tall.
No, you're wrong. But everything else that you said up to that point, I agree with you. He is...
I got worked up. I got too excited.
He's 6'7". I swear he is.
I'll tell you right now, he's 7 foot.
CeeDee Lamb's great. There's so many things that he does well. He's, you know, he's not as sudden as Jerry Jeudy. But that doesn't mean that he's not as effective, right? Because he is smooth in speed. And just because a guy, and I've said this before, it's really easy to, you said before when we were talking about Jerry Jeudy, you could find somebody who's never watched football before, pop them in, and they could be like, yeah, that guy's effective at whatever it is he's doing. I don't really understand the game, but he's effective at what he's doing. It's really easy to see success when you have like explosiveness speed. When you can change direction like Jerry Jeudy is, you can immediately notice it and go, that translates into separation. So does what CeeDee Lamb does. And he's not as explosive in changing of direction as Jerry Jeudy is, because nobody is. But he's very smooth. He's smooth down the field. He's smooth in and out of his routes. And that also makes him just as effective as I think, especially within his game, which is a lot more about big boy in some of these corners, going up and getting the ball, being aware of when it's coming into him, playing that outside receiver role. So I think that he's got the speed. He's a little bit lighter on the size, but I could not care less, especially for how effective I know that he is when I watch his tape. And the thing that really puts him over the edge, I mean, let's be real about it. Dude's got mini dreadlocks, incredible, has a clear visor on, just that's an A-plus there, and then he's wearing the best number. He's wearing number 2. I mean, it's just like, do you want, okay, well, like...
That fake is just bad, but whatever.
Hold on. Do you think the number 2 is bad?
Not bad, but best number ever for a wide receiver is a very healthy
thing. No, it's just the best number. 2's okay. The best number.
I have no, like... particularly strong opinion here. I think many wide.
What's your favorite number, Ben? Well. What's your favorite number?
Favorite number? I think 18.
Oh my God. Okay.
I don't know. I haven't spent much time thinking about this. Okay, my
have you not spent that much time thinking about it? This is all I thought about as a kid.
This is all, I just sat and I looked at a number line. And yeah. I considered the pros and cons.
Yeah.
No, I was born on an 18. My brother was born on an 18. My sister was born on an 18.
Peyton so Manning's like 18. A
very significant number. But, okay, now that I'm calm about CeeDee Lamb, I agree with smoothness. I also think there's great explosiveness. I also think there's good suddenness.
I didn't mean it to say, like, he doesn't have explosiveness. Sure, I'm just saying there's that cut on a dime thing that's rare. You know what I'm saying? It was like when we watched running backs after Travis Etienne. You go, these guys are all slow. It's like right, that yeah, when you yeah, watch, yeah. when you watch Jerry Jeudy's route running.
No, I feel that. And that's a very good point. The one thing I wonder with CeeDee Lamb right now is he does have, I think, I don't even want to call them concentration drops. I want to call them, like, I'm so good at catching the football that sometimes I forget two drops. Just in the sense of, like, he gets lazy with the football at times. But I know for a fact, because of the plays I've seen him make, that that is not a hand strength problem or a catch technique problem. That's just... The luxury of being so good is that you make stupid little mistakes sometimes. And so I'm not super concerned about that. But that is the one thing on film that bothered me a little bit. Like, I could say with Jeudy, like, Jeudy danced around too much with the ball in his hands because Jeudy can usually make guys miss. Like, this is just the cost of elite talent. You know what I mean? Like, it's the Barkley conundrum. When a guy is really, really good, he's going to do things that are objectively stupid sometimes because he's really, really good. And that's the cost of doing business. But yeah, to me right now, I like with running backs, I said like Etienne and Swift is like a different tier, right? I have to say Lamb and Jeudy are a different tier just because I think Chenault's a really good player. I think Colin Johnson is a really good player from who we did on Monday. I'm really excited to see, like, I know there's some big Jalen Reagor fans, the TCU kid, Henry Ruggs. These are guys we'll be watching on Thursday, Tylan Wallace out of Oklahoma State. So I don't think they're at a different tier, but if Lamb and Jeudy aren't your 1 and 2 in some order, we got to converse. What are you looking at? Because whatever model it is, whatever method it is, I don't abide by it. Some doggone good players.
We have tomorrow, we're rounding out the wide receiver class that we're going to talk about. We have 6 guys on our list. I'd love to get to more, but these 6 guys are so good. I'm afraid that we're just going to spend the whole time talking about these 6 guys. Because, I mean, like, we did a 30-minute podcast right here today on just 4 of them. So we're going to try to run through these 6. If I can throw out some other names that we don't have in there, I'll do those as well. But for whatever we don't get to, that's up to you guys. You got to send us some Fan Friday questions about wide receivers. Talking about guys like that, we'll take a peek at them, hopefully answer your questions. But Fan Friday can be whatever you want. If you've never listened to a Fan Friday on this podcast before, they're a lot of fun. You know,
we've had back-to-back-to-back-to-back best Fan Fridays we've ever had.
Yes.
So we're on an incredible hot streak.
This is true. We cannot break the streak. So that is up to you guys. You've got to ask us some great questions, not only about football, but about anything that you could possibly think of. I mean, like, we've ranked anime shows, cereals, things that things that you put on a pizza, appetizers. We've done all of these things on this show. And so you guys make it so much fun for us to do. Keep it going. We'll get you involved in the show as much as we can. Tomorrow, we're going to finish out the wide receivers, and then we're going to get right to that Fan Friday. So until then, you keep it locked right here.
Yeah,
on Lockdown NFL Draft.